Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian. Not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She is the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How was your week off last week?
Oh, it was good. I took a nap.
You know, it's so funny because I think nap is the word of the coronavirus because I think in the last 2 weeks, I've taken a few naps myself because I don't know how I'm going to make it through the day without them, you know? So I really feel the same way. Like, I was like, I need a nap, you know?
So, yep, I don't blame you.
And it's been helping to get through, you know, the long days and everything. And this was kind of a hectic week. My Aunt Jenny, who was 103, passed away on last Thursday, my little sweetheart. And then,
God bless her, the life she lived.
And she's a little sweetheart. And when I went for a walk, you know, when I walk, I always have to keep my cell phone with me during the week, particularly because I always have readings and I have to make sure, you know, people at the last minute, my phone broke, I don't know the address, you know, so I can't ever go for a walk without checking the phone every 15 minutes to be sure, you know, everybody knows what they're doing. Or sometimes they might cancel, then I could have a longer walk. So I'm like always just have my phone. So that's how I heard about my Aunt Jenny dying, was because I had been walking. And about a minute later, we walked past this construction site. And my aunt loved to eat, like, sweets and pie. The last time when I asked what she was eating custard pie, you know. And so I walk past this house, and they start blasting Bye Bye Miss American Pie. And the line comes on, this will be the day that I die. Now, she gave me a soundtrack for my walking and hearing,
that's
you know.
Awesome.
So that was her little sweet message to me. And also, you know, you came to see Angels, Mice, and Men, and a lot of our listeners saw it. And unfortunately, Ben Jorgensen, the star who played the character Steele, who was pretty suicidal in the play, has killed himself 2 days ago. And I'm having a little trouble sleeping with that one. And it has not been easy because, you know, he rehearsed in my house and I picture him in the kitchen and all over the place. And, you know, for actors, you know, it's always a struggle. And, you know, this year with, you know, if people's lifeline is their, you know, being able to act or perform, and, you know, theater has been shut down and closed. And I think it's been very hard for a lot of people, the Corona blues. And so, you know, just reach out to those people that you know and call them, see how they're doing. I would have never thought, because I spent a lot of time with him and talking about the play, and I would never have suspected he would have done this. And, you know, although other people who knew him better from what I'm seeing posted had seen his ups and downs in his life. And but again, it just seems like if people are having a rough time, it's a really bad year for certain people. So, you know, call your family or your relatives or friends and, you know, reach out to them a little bit in memory of Ben. So, and I think we'll dedicate the show to Ben. And, you know, and remember, if you're, you know, there are people there to help you. If, you know, some of people are feeling this way, you know, reach out, ask for help. It's okay to ask for help. That's what we've been saying throughout the virus. If you're having a hard time, ask for help.
Yeah.
You know, don't be afraid to do that. And so, so that's the kind of week it's been. So, you know,
that's just awful.
It is awful. And, you know, it's one of those things. Last night, I think I must have woken up 100 times, you know, wondering, thinking, you know, all kinds of things. And, you know, you always feel bad because anybody who saw him, he was the most handsome man. And
oh, yes, he was.
And took, you know, great pride in his body and staying in shape. And he actually, you know, was one of the first people to portray a gay character on television because he was Kevin in, I think it was All My Children, or that, I think that was the show, one of the
soaps. Yeah, I think so.
And, you know, that was took a lot of courage. I mean, he was not gay, and to take that part was, you know, he took a lot of flack for it, and it was hard, and he really helped open television for that. So, you know, he had his own little place in changing the world. And so, you know, we'll just keep Ben in mind and sending out him some love and healing on the other side. So with that said, and I did want to just mention that because I knew you had seen the show. So, you know.
Yeah,
you
I mean, that's awful. I hate to hear things like that.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, this is every day in my life, you know, because that's what I
yeah.
deal with. You know,
God, I know it.
I deal with it every day. But, you know, and I manage pretty good to separate as much as I can from other people's pain when it's not someone that I knew or whatever. But when it's someone you know, it really does hit hard, you know. And it makes us all think and wonder, yes, life is very hard. Sometimes it just seems
yeah.
very hard, you know. And that's why, you know, we are here. We do our little part. Everyone do your little part to, you know, make the world a kinder place. Because the one thing about Ben, he was a very kind person. He had a very kind heart. I never heard mm-hmm. him say a mean thing about anyone. You know, like
wow.
that was, he was very, very kind. So we do have a lot of listeners, and we're going to pick up Debbie Tony first because I know that we haven't picked her up in a while, and she's always bubbling and brewing. So maybe we'll start the show a little bit with her, and then you could screen because we have
yep.
a lot of
you
listeners.
You pick up Debbie Tony, and
one.
I will. Oh, I notice. This is what happens every time we're off for a week.
Well, I'm glad we were missed. Okay, I did
yeah,
love
absolutely.
Doing my television
right.
show with Marcy Newman. If you didn't catch it, it's still probably airing now, so you could catch it. So it's on my website, Grant Me a Higher Love, and on the blog section if you want to click on it and watch.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me go to Debbie Tony. Hello, Debbie
yes,
Tony.
Ma'am.
All
but
the way
how
from
do you
Lindenhurst.
Know I'm here?
I know you're here. I know your number, darling. I got your number. That's what I should say.
I got chills when you talked about Aunt Jenny.
Aw, yeah, she's
what
my little sweetheart.
I loved whenever you said happy birthday to her on the show.
I know.
You always said happy birthday. She was always there with us.
Always there. And, you know, she was my biggest fan. You know, growing up, I was sort of like, I don't know, the feral child. We didn't get much compliments or whatever, but my Aunt Jenny was always my biggest fan. And, you know, even to the end, she always, you know, said how proud she was of me and how my grandmother, who loves psychics and who was somewhat psychic herself but got ripped off by every psychic under the sun, how she would tell me how proud grandma, her mother, was of me. So, you know, she will definitely miss. So I talked to my cousin, her son, today, and I said, you know, he was sorting through her stuff, and I said, can you just send me some little trinkets of her? Nothing of value. I don't want anything of value from her. Just some trinket that she might have liked, you know, one or two of them that I could put in my reading room so I have that psychometry, a little bit of her spirit in my house. That would make me very happy. So I'm curious what he'll send. You know, it's nice to have something from someone, isn't it?
Yeah. My mom just gave me gloves that said New York Yankees on them, but the tag was still on them, and the tag says forever.
Aww.
So not taking the tag off.
Aww,
you know,
yes.
I don't really have, my dad didn't have a lot of things, so I'm keeping those.
That's what I said, something like that. You know, maybe she had a little tiny statue, you know, like that she bought, I don't know, it's a 5 and 10, but she loved it. And that's what I want, something that she loved and liked. And, of course, he was very gracious and said he would look through her things for me.
Oh, good.
So that's always important.
And it has the energy, right?
Oh, yeah, it has their energy. So that's what's called psychometry. When you touch it, objects have spirit. So it's nice to have something that someone liked or bought or wore or possessed. And, you know, I always tell the funny story when my parents died, because they died so close together. They had so many consumables, like toothpaste and toothbrushes and my mother's stockings and hairbrushes and, you know, Blistex, all this stuff. So one day I was putting my mother's stockings, I just used the Blistex, just brushed my teeth with one of their toothbrushes and toothpaste, and my dead father came through to say, "Cindy, did you own anything of your own before we died?"
That is so fun.
Yeah, they great. Get a kick out of us using their stuff, you know. So that's why, you know, hold on to those gloves and let them keep you warm when on a cold day or whatever, so you'll remember him.
I definitely will. And I just wanted to tell you, I'm glad you picked up, because, you know, I've been very intuitive lately and things have been happening. And what's really weird is I was thinking of Ben when you did the House of Karma reading with that other group and the guy
right.
that played the doctor. I was thinking of him.
See, isn't that funny?
And then he came up this week. It was just last week I was thinking of him, and I didn't even know him, and he was on my mind.
Right, and it's funny because I have a picture of him hanging right where I look at it in my office, because I have little pictures from our Beethoven show and from Angels, Mice, and Men. And I recently started wearing the blouse that I had bought for Angel, the black blouse that she wore in the beginning, and he had the same black top on in the beginning. And I had
wow.
put that on that day, you know, and for the first time and whatever, and looked at that picture and then heard, you know, the next day, you know, that he had died. And it was kind of odd to have that connection. So, yeah, we get these little intuitive hits. And sometimes when we think about someone or something, you know, they'll call. And it can work even in terms of delivering messages to people telepathically. Like, I needed my sprinkler system shut off, and the guy never returns my calls for like 2 weeks. And finally, like, I telepathically said while I was cleaning yesterday morning, "Well, if you don't call today, I'm getting another sprinkler person."
And you know,
5 minutes later, 5 minutes later, he calls me.
Okay, this is crazy. So I have an accordion student. He has a disability, and he took off for the month of October. And I was like, I got to call him and see if we're going to resume in November. I get a check and a letter in the mail the next day.
Wow.
And I haven't talked to him since August. And then other thing that happened just today, I was on the phone with my six-year-old student, Lily, who is very demanding. She doesn't want to take her lessons seriously. She just wants to have an experience with music. I get it. So I'm being silly, and I reach in for my Mickey Mouse, my Minnie Mouse ears, in the, because I'm putting stuff together for Parker in a bin so I have props and stuff. So I put on my Minnie Mouse ears just for fun. And I'm like, what are you wearing today, Lily? What is that shirt? Guess what it was. You're going to guess. It was a Minnie Mouse dress.
Right. See?
It just
see,
happened
like,
5 minutes ago. I'm like, OMG. I have to tell
Minnie. Well, that's
this
what
happens. Happening all the time.
The more that you, like, listen to the show, the universe starts to say you want to open up Vortex, and they'll start giving you the – and no, it's funny. The things that we're saying are like, you know, those ears, it's a funny thing. They like us to laugh
yeah.
and get a kick out of it. And, you know, get amused by it. So that's why I said we should use our telepathy a little more, sending out messages and, you know, sending messages of healing to people. You know, even when people are isolated because of COVID, you could always send them a telepathic message as well. So just use your telepathy to communicate, because it really is fun to do that. And
it's awesome. It's happening all the time. My dad turned on the radio yesterday. Not once, but twice.
And let people know that your dad has passed away.
Oh,
who turned
yes.
on the radio.
Yeah, and nobody believes it. And they were there when it happened, and my aunt kept saying, "Oh, it was the cat." I said, "No one was in that room. Why do people believe? It's silly."
Well, they do love to turn on electronics. They do love to do all of that and have fun with us. And, you know, after my brother Gary passed away, I, you know, all of a sudden I'm in the bedroom with TJ, and a song's playing that, you know, has something to do with, you know, "I'm sick, I don't feel well, I'm dying." And it was a song I never heard. And it was fun. And I'm like, "TJ, why are you playing that song?" And he goes, "I'm not playing any music." I go, "Well, there's a song playing in here." So we're looking all around, and I forgot that I had this like clock radio that we never use. And all of a sudden, the clock radio went on by itself. Something that's been in that room for 8 years.
Exactly.
That both of us never use. It just
yes.
sometimes glance at the time of it, but we never use it. I use Alexa for my alarm, and that one never worked right, so we never used that one. It never seemed to go off. So that's how they can turn on a radio. They can do these things. So, you know, let's be a little more aware. Let's have this week where we're all going to look for signs from the other side and see what we can get.
I'll keep letting you know when they happen.
Good. And
I should write a list because it's getting long now.
Good. Right. Keep a list and let us know.
Okay.
So, well, good night for now. We're going to try to get some of our callers. We seem to have a lot of people that want to talk tonight.
Yep. Thank you so much, Cindy. Love you. Talk
Love
to you soon.
Love you, too. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. We have two people that you have screened. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So let's start with the first one who's been waiting a long time.
All right. Yes, we are going to go out to Diane, and Diane is in Nebraska, and she actually spoke to you about 9 months ago, Cindy, and at the time she was, you know, engaged, and, you know, she was asking you your advice about that situation, and things have been going well, but now she's got an update for us, because apparently her fiancé got a message from his ex-wife, and Diane is a little bit intuitive herself, and she's picking up certain things about this particular interaction. And now she wants to know, Cindy, what do you think about this? And I believe she's going to read you the message that that he was sent. So let's go out to Nebraska and speak to Diane. Hello, Diane. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And, Cindy, sorry to hear of your two losses today.
Oh, you know, thank you so much. And I appreciate that a lot. Now, I'm glad you got engaged, so that's the good news.
Yes, very good. And I don't think this is really bad news either, but you know how sometimes you get strong impressions about something, and you just kind of like to hear a second or third opinion to see if they're kind of getting the same vibe. We're hoping to, my fiancé's name is Brian, we're hoping to get married possibly yet in December. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, so should you get a yes or no jump out, that would be great, but we're working on that.
Are you doing it, if you're going to have something small so you can do it no matter what?
Yes, it's going to be like a destination thing where we'll just go get married and then have a reception probably next spring sometime.
Perfect, because it looks like, you know, December should be okay. You know, it depends, you know, we don't know what's going to shut down or, you know, open up. Have you bought tickets yet to go somewhere?
No, but we can drive there. The only thing is it's up in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado, so we're looking at weather, and it's my understanding it's a little bit more restricted state than some other states right now with the virus.
Right, but it looks like it should be okay. So let's, like, no, it's okay here, so on it. So let's. I'm glad you don't have to fly anywhere, because flying, I'd say, you know, kind of, I don't know. Unless you have very good insurance, it's going to give you your money back. But believe me, the insurance isn't giving money back. What they do is, you know, they give some of it, but then they give you these, like, you know, I have, like, you know, from JetBlue, even though I should have gotten my money back, you know, I have to use the, you know, they gave me, like, a credit. And I have to keep arguing with them, because when am I going to use this credit? Like, they expect me to use it by now. I'm like, I'm not using it by now.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Where am I going to go where I don't have to quarantine for 14 days when I come back, you know? You know, like, can't be done. But anyway, so what did his ex-wife say?
Well, a few weeks ago, out of nowhere, I don't think he'd heard from her in maybe 2 or 3 years, and she sent this text message just a few weeks ago, and it's fairly short here. It says, "Good morning. I hope you and all of your loved ones are well during these also interesting times. I have a question. Do you have a 2-drawer file cabinet in your storage unit here? If you do, is it easily accessible, and could I buy it from you? Also, I'd like to send you some money from the debt from long ago where you loaned me money for my website. I have PayPal, or I can send you a check. What is your mailing address? Is it still the same? Actually, a check would work well for me, or PayPal, as those come out of my personal account." That's the end of it.
Wow. Now, first of all, if she needs to get a filing cabinet, can she go buy one of her own? Does she have to buy one? I mean, can't she go look on Craigslist or something? You know.
Exactly. And I think she might have asked him about that same filing cabinet when she called him 2 or 3 years ago, the last time he heard from her.
Oh, and so she did. So 2 or 3 years passed, and now she urgently needs this thing that she, you know, is it things you think she would have bought 1, 2, or 3 years ago? Come on.
Exactly.
But also she wants to give him back money, which isn't that a good way to get someone to contact you by saying you're going to give them money? Like
exactly. That's what I was thinking too.
Because I don't believe for one minute she wants to give him this money. Okay, so you know, it seems more like she just wants to have his address, know what he's doing, know what's happening, and have him contact her. Now, did he contact her back with this?
Well, he was very smart. What he did was he just texted her back and listed his PayPal account.
That's what
and
I would say. Let her PayPal.
Enough, within a couple of days, she did send him a little bit of money. I was surprised that she did that, but she
a
did.
A little bit. A little
exactly.
Bit.
He said it was a small fraction of what I actually paid for her website. And he said, what I can't believe is this was like 15 to 20 years ago I did that for her.
Right. She wants something. Okay. If she sent him a little bit of money, she actually wants something from him in the future and wants to keep the door open in case she needs something in the future. You know, I would just like close that door now. Like, okay, she sent a little money through PayPal and, you know, I would just kind of leave it at that. But it does look like, you know, she wants to make sure he'll be there for her if she ever needs anything in the future. It's like insurance.
And that's what I've been telling him from the get-go. In fact, when he told me about that, I said, the impression I get is she's not done with you yet.
Right. I mean, it's you know, she's up to something, which means, you know, sometimes we're in the middle of COVID, so people get nervous about death and dying and what if I need something. So she's probably just wanting to figure out if she ever needs something in the future that he'll help her out.
That's what I was thinking. I thought maybe her current marriage could be really on the skids because I was picking up a while ago. She wasn't that happy. This is a woman who, when she married a new man, she kept my fiancé's last name for 3.5 years into her current marriage, her new marriage.
Well,
and they
have
no
children and no reason to do that. Well,
correct.
What I could see is she also seems like she's gotten a lot of, you know, hits from people saying that she never pays money back or she's this or that. Like, it seems like the tides have turned on her and maybe she's just trying to look like a nice person or kind of have, you know, make some amends about that. But it's more, she's just a manipulator here. And, you know, her marriage does look like it's not great. So if it doesn't work out with her current husband, who's going to take care of her if she needs him taken care of? You know, like she just
That's
wants to
I
make sure
saying.
She keeps the door open and like in a friendly kind of a way. And, you know, it's like you say, out of the blue, you're going to pay me back a little bit of money, a fraction of like, you're going to pay me back, you know.
Right.
Don't give me one gazillionth of what you owe me. And, you know, she's a little threatened. She senses you guys are getting married soon or some. I don't know if you've posted it anywhere, but she seems to know or sensed
no,
or
we
knows.
Keep that secret.
Okay,
except
good.
For our families. Yeah.
But she
Unless
seems to
family.
Sense it. Remember we were talking about people sensing things. She seems to sense it. And
okay,
just
so we're still together and getting married?
Mm-hmm, and she's a narcissist. Narcissists always want us to talk about them, and you're talking about her, okay? It's like, you know, she just wants people to, you know, remember her, talk about her.
Well, it's interesting. We don't normally talk about her, but some time ago, maybe about 6 months or so ago, I had one of those weird dreams where you know it's more than a dream, and
oh, yeah.
I saw her there, and I thought, I've never met this woman, and she's starting to mess with my subconscious, so I'm a big believer in keep your friends close and your enemies closer, and I see her as an enemy.
Right, exactly, and remember, she got what she wanted. Your guys are getting married, planning for December, and now for the last few weeks, suddenly she's the topic of conversation. So I would kind of it's what people do, politicians do it all the time. They always and entertainers, they always want to be in the news, whether it's bad news, good news. Bad news is fine. They just want to always be in your thoughts. So kind of accept it for what it is. I'm glad he didn't give the mailing address or anything. Did he answer the part about the filing cabinet to her at all? Because that'll give another excuse for her to contact if he didn't answer.
Yes, actually he did. He said he did not have one. So that should end now, that topic. But like
okay.
I said, I don't think she's done with them yet. She's going to hear from her again.
Right. And just I wouldn't give her too much thought at all because that's what she wants, okay?
Okay.
You know, she wants to rattle your cage. She wants you to think about her and see that she's still around. But it doesn't look like her marriage is paradise right now. So, she's just looking to see if she's got any friends left. But, you know, again, I wouldn't give her, I would try not to think about her too much. That's what, you know, certain people are always like that. They're always texting. Just when my clients, you know, move away from someone, they don't want them anymore, they start texting them again, the whole nonsense. So,
mm-hmm.
But I think she wants, this is October, Halloween month. I think she just wanted to haunt you a little bit. It's a scary month that way, but I don't see any threat to you whatsoever, or I wouldn't even give it any more thought. And you know, as a matter of fact, if every time she wants to contact him or see if he's still got, if she wants to send money, that's good. I'd take it. You know,
that's what I told him, because he said he wants no contact with her whatsoever. So,
but again, if she contacts him again, she still wants to pay him some more money, put some in his PayPal account, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's what I told her.
In other words, she's got to pay to talk to him, okay, or have contact. You know?
Yeah, all she got was that short text back. So I do have a question, though, when you said that about the narcissist. Since I have never met this woman, do narcissists still get something out of it when they don't know you're talking about them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Narcissists instinctively know how to stir up trouble. They're rabble-rousers. They're troublemakers.
Okay.
And they love to make that, you know, you don't think like this at all, but they love when everybody's talking about them. Okay. That's what they want. And they know, she knew by doing this that it would make you guys talk about her. You know, so
okay. It wasn't a lot of time, but that's why I'm wondering, you know, when they don't even know, I guess if they're narcissists, though, it's all about them all the time.
It's all about them. And they just, you know, she's probably thinking about the response it got, you know. Did you get mad? Did it start a fight? You know, like.
She kind of laughed about it. Like, when was the last time you heard from her type of thing? You know, it'd been so long, neither one of us could remember.
Well, I know. They're like, you know those movies like The Alien, when you think the alien's gone and the movie's just about over and then the alien comes back again? Well,
yeah.
That's what she's like. And
okay.
Again, he didn't give her much of a payout. She wanted, you know, to get some payout from this. You know, a short text back didn't give her much payout. So, you know, you don't want to feed the monster by talking. She thought this would open up a whole conversation. She wanted to start having a texting relationship with him, where he'll talk to her. You know, she could have a conversation with him. So
okay, and she used to have that, I think, before we started dating.
Yep,
but that's
yep.
been almost 5 years now.
Right, but she wanted to start that again.
Okay.
So he, you know, that's why I said they don't answer these people, because that's what they want. They want to start having a dialogue with you again. And, you know, he didn't buy it. So
No, he didn't. I was very proud of him. He saw right through it.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm glad you called in, and let us know what happens in December. I'm hoping you get to, you know, ask God to make the weather cooperate. You know, so
yes, I will. Thank you very much, and thank you to Nicole, too. Love you both. Appreciate
your
help.
Too. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oh, she's so sweet.
I mean, isn't it funny how the exes, they come back like that, you know, like.
Yeah. You know what? I think that we've all known that ex that just doesn't want to let go. You know, I mean, I've had a couple of them. You know, I know that my wife has certainly had a couple of them. So, you know, I mean, but it's you know, it's kind of like you said, Cindy. It's like, look, I'm still here. You know, hey. You know, and
pay attention to me.
Know.
I want to
yep,
be in
exactly.
your face.
Hey, yep. And, you know, and they could, like, be very, very kind about it, too. But it doesn't necessarily mean that is their objective. So
wow.
I always steer clear. Like, if anybody that is in my past suddenly decides to contact me, I'm always a little bit leery of that.
I know. And it's funny because, sure, you want to give me money. Okay, that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
I take money. You know,
yep,
that's good.
Exactly.
You know, that's fine. But, you know, narcissists have this way of always wanting to be in our thoughts and torture us. I mean,
and Diane nailed that too, though, because she's like, well, she doesn't even know that we're talking about her. Oh, please. Well, from the moment she sent the message, she's thinking, oh, my man, they must be talking about this, and he must be thinking blah, blah, blah. And like, she's like, just like those people that plan the argument that they're going to have with the person that they haven't even picked up the phone yet. Like, literally, like, as soon as somebody planned, you know, as soon as she sent that message, she was planning everything that, that he was thinking and that was going to happen as a direct result. And I'm happy that he didn't give her what she wanted.
Exactly. And, you know, these people always want to torture us. And, you know, we are in the middle of COVID. People are bored. People are just bored, you know, and they want to. And isn't it funny? We talk about the unfixables, who are the manipulative, judgmental, not accountable people. They love to make trouble. Like, it's hard for good people to realize there are people that want to make trouble. Like, that's the last thing in the world I want to do.
For some
I don't want
just
trouble.
Fun.
Right? They just want to make trouble. And it's hard to wrap our heads around the fact that there are people like that. But there are.
Yep.
They just like trouble. They just like chaos. They just like, you know, being in your face and making your life hell. It's like at work. You know how sometimes people hate their job because there's a boss that's always up their asshole, even though they're doing their job. And, you know, perhaps it's a woman who's got a nice husband and a nice family, and the boss has a miserable life and has to torture that person at work every day because they want to see someone miserable because they're miserable. And that's hard for us to fathom, but it is a reality with people. So what we have to do is not take these people personally or give them that satisfaction. Go to your job, do your job. Don't let the person affect you. It's not about you. You're doing your job and, you know, try to rise above it if you can, because it's not about you. They know not what they do. And that's part of our karmic lesson, is to not let these people throw us off our game. They always do briefly, but it's how much power are you going to give them? You know, like people can just take something a wrong way and twist it. And, you know, all of a sudden you have this like person attacking you, and what did I do? I didn't do anything. And, you know, I realized the only thing you could do is try to diffuse it as quickly as possible, but not give it the attention, because that's really what they want. And get it over with and move on from it. You know, people will talk about this for days, what somebody did. I'm like, that's what they wanted. Stop talking about it.
Exactly.
So now we have Nancy, and oh, she's got the Corona blues, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yes. Well, Nancy said that, you know, it's hitting her hard, especially this week. And, you know, she just kind of feels like that void and that emptiness. She said that things are going great professionally, but it's the personal life where she's feeling lost and where she just kind of does not, you know, where she doesn't know really know, you know, how to pull herself out of it. You know, so she did speak to you before, Cindy. So hopefully, you know, she just kind of wants to know what your thoughts are and give her a little bit of advice on how she can get rid of these COVID blues. So here we go, out to Nancy. Hello, Nancy, you're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, Nancy. Well, I'm glad to hear that at least professionally things are good, okay? So, okay.
I know. At least something's right in my life.
That's something. Okay, she's not broke, so I'm glad to hear
not
that.
Not completely.
Okay. You're not completely broke. Her financial. Now, is it since COVID, did your personal life have to stop because of it? Are you isolated because of it?
To be honest, I'm not isolated. I just feel like for the longest time, I think relationship-wise, I never really fully wanted to commit to anyone. And last year, I did meet someone who actually changed everything in me. And, of course, like, it didn't work out. Recently, I was talking to another individual who also did the same thing. Like, we really reconnected and you know, I just feel like it never, now that I really want it, it's just not happening. I'm like, it's just, I know that, like, no one can fill me or, you know, bring the happiness that I'm looking for. I can only do this for myself. But, like, it's so hard when, like, these people that I've learned to really care about and see a future with are, you know, they're just willing to walk away so easily. And it's, I don't know. It's really put me in a slump, and like, I just can't shake it off. You know, I pretend to be the strong person, And I just lost it this week at work, even on Monday. I'm like, this is not like me. Like, I'll cry, like, you know, when I'm home alone. But I couldn't even shake it off at work. And I'm like, this is not good.
And of course, now, you know, the thing that you said in the beginning was you never really wanted a committed relationship. And unfortunately, the first few people God may bring into our life when we don't want commitment is other as commitment phobes, who come close mm-hmm. to us, can commit, and then run away. And so what you've learned from this is love without commitment is pain. And mm-hmm. instead of letting it scare you and saying, I'm not doing that again, I was afraid of commitment, and see what happened. I got hurt. That's not what the universe wants you to learn from this. The universe wants you to learn from this. If you're going to be afraid of commitment and love, then they're only going to bring you people that... See, the universe believes what you say. If you say love hurts, people don't commit, I don't want commitment, I don't need it, they're going to bring you that kind of person because that's what you believe. Okay, now, what you want to say is, okay, I get it, because I've been afraid of commitment. You brought me people who are afraid of commitment and run away. You're not responsible for the ending of those relationships because you're not the one who ran. So didn't you prove something to the universe that you are wanting a committed relationship? Like, you wanted these to work out. And now you want to put out to the universe that you're going to say the prayer to pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to the healing that that love brings. And you want to be a soulmate who can love and commit back. You have to be the same, say that prayer that you will be the person that can love and commit, because those people were there to teach you that, mm-hmm. yeah, we have to, you know, sometimes we're afraid to get out there that we're going to get hurt. But talking to dead people is a pretty brutal job to do, because the overwhelming majority of people who've died keep saying they would have, could have, should have loved better. Like, nobody regrets trying. Nobody regrets loving. They regret that they didn't try or they didn't open their heart. So what this did prove is you like being in a relationship. Can we admit that?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. And, you know, COVID is a year, 2020 is a year of clear vision. God's like, okay, are you happy being in a foxhole all by yourself in the middle of a pandemic? Not pleasant, okay? If you're in a bad relationship, is it nice to be in a foxhole with a bad person? So this is proving that you like being in a relationship. And maybe that's something that it doesn't mean that you're weak and you're not strong if you want to be in a relationship. I mean, human beings are pack animals, pairs and packs. They're not meant to be alone all the time. It's not healthy. It's not good. And so you want to write down what your ideal soulmate would be like and think about those two last men that you had. Write down some of the traits in them that were good, you know, and that you mm-hmm. like. But put someone who's loyal and trustworthy, you know, that wants a committed relationship, that's looking for that. And at work, when you had a little bit of a meltdown, you know, I'm surprised people don't melt down more, in all honesty. You know, when I was a little kid, I thought, man, so people are really screwed up. But I'm surprised more people aren't breaking down in the food store. Like, you know, it amazes me that you don't see it more, you know, like how much pain we're all in half the time. How do we go around without breaking down? I think it was a sign that you were vulnerable. It's a sign that you were hurt and that you're mourning for the end of these relationships. It hurts. Mm-hmm. It's no doubt it hurts. Soulmate love without commitment is pain. And relationships end. And normally what's happening in the world is people are ending them for no real reason. Like, you can understand when a relationship ends if you're fighting like cats and dogs. But half the time, those don't end. They just beat the hell out of each other for 20 years and go back for more. But how people run from a good relationship is frightening in the level that they're doing it. And so, again, meditate on the fact that you were afraid. And if mm-hmm. they had brought you someone who wasn't afraid, who was willing to commit, you might have been the one who got scared. Now you know, nope, it's not me. I'm not afraid anymore. And the only thing you might have broken down about is you don't want to go back to that Nancy who seals off herself and says, I don't want love, I don't need it. This is not true. The one thing that this proved is Nancy's not happy by herself. She might have fooled herself that she was, but now mm-hmm. you know yourself better. And the first card that I got is you falling in love. that there's a new love going to be on the horizon for you. And, you know, don't, I think you were more scared that you're going to shut down than you are afraid of getting out there and finding love again. Because I think it's more scary that Nancy is going to spend the rest of her life alone. That should terrify you, okay, that thought. You know, it should make you be happy if, nope, I know how to love. I know that I want commitment. And I'm ready to put myself out there. And, and just, you know, heal from this. Allow yourself to mourn. I think you were trying not to mourn. And that's why you started crying at work. The end of a relationship, it feels like somebody died. Do you feel that way?
Big time.
Doesn't it feel like somebody died?
It is. It's like, it's a whole, like, you can't even fail with, like, anything. And, you know, I try to explain it, and my friends are like, oh, just move on. Like, and it's hard. It's like, you know, like, they don't, I can't even explain it to them.
Well, then they've never loved deeply, is what I have to tell you. You know, anybody who loves deeply understands the pain at the ending of a relationship. And it doesn't matter if it was short. I don't care if it was 3 months, 6 months. You know, there's different kinds of words for time. Kairos time in ancient Greek is the soul time. Time that stands still, doesn't matter if it's 1 minute or 10 years. So this was Kairos time experience because it did touch your soul. And,
right.
You know, it looks to me like one of these men may resurface. And I'm not sure how you're going to handle it, but it looks like one may resurface. Have you had any contact with one of them recently?
One of them reached out to me last week, actually, the one that I was just talking to. And it's like, it's upsetting because it's the reason why we broke up was just, to me, it just doesn't make sense. And I eventually asked him to disconnect from me completely because I didn't want to be friends. I felt like I was being friend zone and I didn't want that. And I heard from him last week, so I feel like that also triggered a lot in me.
Of course. And, you know, once you've been a soulmate lover or lover, you can't just be friends. And I'm glad you didn't allow that because, you know, friends can talk about who they're sleeping with, who they're dating. Do you want to hear who he's sleeping with and who he's dating?
No.
And he wanted to do what men do nowadays, and a lot of women, too. They want their cake and eat it, too. They don't want to be in a committed relationship because that means grow up and heal your issues and care about another person. They would rather, you know, break off, then come back, and most women are so grateful. Oh, my God, he's back. Yeah, I'll be the friend. I'll be the booty call. I'll be the friend with benefit. No, you were karmically correct in saying it's all or nothing. And in doing that, now you're really mourning for the end of it. Because, you know, he wanted to just call you once in a while, send you a text, pop in and out of your life just when you're starting to forget him. And so I'm glad you kind of let him know, no, it's all or nothing. Now, he might think about it and realizes that he doesn't want to lose you and maybe he could step up to the plate. But that's the whole point. Either it's all or nothing. Yeah. And that's why it triggered it. Because part of you might have wanted to say, okay, let's be friends. Because, you know, when we love someone or you miss them, sometimes we'll just take them at any level we can get. But you didn't do that. And it took a lot of courage and strength to do that. And self-love. Because when people are commitment phobic, they can do this dance for 20 years. Do you want to do a dance like this for 20 years? Where you get close and then they run and they come back and it's nonsense. And so know that you are in mourning and it's infinitely made worse because of COVID because we don't have our usual distractions, but that's what God wants. He wants people to do the true suffering of life, not just like, let me distract, let me just find another person, let me just go to a bar, let me just go to a movie, let me just go run to the gym. God wants people to feel the pain of life because that's how we become compassionate. That's how we become a wounded healer because we have certain holes in our hearts that are never going to heal. And through that comes compassion and empathy for other people. You know, people who don't do the suffering of life become highly neurotic. Those are the people you hate to be around. you know, you go out to dinner and they're complaining about everything. You know, just eat the food, okay? But they complain, oh, this isn't good, that isn't good. They drive you nuts. So, yeah, God wants you to feel the pain of this. Sorry. Sorry, you know, sorry. But, you know, once you get through this and do the mourning of it, and I'm not saying it's totally over with him. Maybe he's thinking about it. Looks like he's thinking about, well, she doesn't want to be my friend, and I really thought she was going to do what all women do now in the 21st century. They let me be, you know, a friend, or that's what women do. So now he has to think about, do I never want to have Nancy in my life? And now he's got to seriously think about that. So be proud of yourself. You didn't call in to get that guidance. You instinctively knew that it wasn't right for him to come back and just be your friend, because that's not what you wanted. So, you know, it shows you have good self-esteem, self-love, but it also says, I am really ready for a committed relationship. So I think you called in because you didn't want to go back to that Nancy that's going to say, see, love hurts, and that's why I'm not going to go there anymore. Mm-hmm. That's not the message here. Nancy wants to say, no, love is joy and peace. You know, love isn't pain. And, you know, once we learn that, God brings us very happy and healthy relationships. And you're ready for that, aren't you?
I hope so.
I know. And again, you know, do you want another commitment phobic brought to your way?
No, not at all.
We don't want to do this anymore, do we? And
no.
Believe me, understand the expression, he's not rejecting you. He's just not into a higher love. Like, some people get really afraid of a higher love because you have to care about them. And during COVID, it's kicked up our fear of loving someone who could die on them. It's pretty painful to love. I mean, to the extent that if we can lose someone. But again, do you regret loving anyone that you've loved, even if they've died? We never regret that we love them. Okay, we always know that that love continues. And, yeah, so you had a little breakdown at work. You know, I'm glad that you finally acknowledged, oh, gee, this hurts. And, you know, we're always being little soldiers in life. And that's what it calls for. We get up, we go put one foot in front of another. But sometimes we just need to take a moment to feel the pain. And, you know, and I'm sure you covered for yourself at work, didn't you?
No, I did. It's just like the weekends, I dread them because it's like now what do I do? And it's like I feel like I go into this like mood where I can't shake it off. And like I love the weekends because I'm obviously not working, but then it's like that extra time. Like I don't even know what to do with myself anymore. And it's like more thinking, more like thinking about the whole situation, and just, I don't know, it just brings me down.
Well, can we think about what we can do during COVID to meet people? There are a lot of Zoom activities where you can start meeting people, you know, in Zoom conferences. I know Debbie and I do play readings, and we've gotten to meet a whole group of people. It helps, you know, us all feel less isolated. There's all kinds of things that you can do to meet people. So that are safe. And so, you know, try to figure out what can I do? You know, do you have, and do you get together with any of your friends?
No, I definitely do. And I do have like schoolwork. I went back to school last year actually, and it's, you know, but still it's like, you know, it's an empty feeling at the end. So I'm just trying to, like,
and,
I don't know, figure it out.
And again, you're supposed to be in mourning. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to, you know, people just go from one relationship to the next, they distracted. No, that's, we're supposed to feel the loss of things. You know, everybody tries to do everything to avoid, you know, feeling psychological pain and heartbreak, but that then it becomes illness. If we don't feel the pain, anger or the hurt or the sorrow, then it becomes cancer or a stroke. So kind of God wants us to deal with what's really going on. Like a lot of people don't get angry, they grow tumors. No, sometimes we got to address our anger. So this is not unhealthy what you're feeling. It's healthy. It's a psychological, healthy thing to be feeling. And God, was saying that people were happy to be alone like you used to be, and they were happy to just watch their TV shows by themselves and play their video games and be alone. God kind of said, okay, I'm going to lock you all away for 2 years. When you get out of this mad house of your own house, are you going to want to go out and meet people? And what you've discovered from this is I want to have people in my life. I want to have someone mm-hmm. special. So don't you think that's a really quantum leap in understanding who you are?
No, absolutely.
I know it hurts. I know it hurts. I wish I had a broken heart Band-Aid I could, you know, give to you. That would, you know. But
I could take a whole bunch of those.
I know. I could give you a whole box of them and, you know, and you kind of, and how about a little crazy glued, you know, and spit will hold your, like, heart back together. But, again, we're supposed to have that hole in our heart that never really mm-hmm. totally heals, because that's really where compassion comes from. And mm-hmm. so welcome to the world of a wounded healer. And now when you give advice to people, a young girl at work or that you meet at school who's got brokenhearted, you won't tell her, get over it. It's nothing. Okay, you know, like you'll be telling her, oh, yeah, this hurts. And you'll be mm-hmm. real comfort to that person in the long run. So, you know, nothing looks bad in your cards. You did get the Ace of Cups cards, which is a new love. You know, and, you know, there are ways to still meet people. I mean, how did you meet the last guy that you were talking about?
Online.
Okay. Now, the problem with online is you get a lot of commitment phobics. There's a little bit better quality of men on there right now, or women, because there's nowhere else really to meet people. So, but go in online knowing that a lot of people are not looking for relationships.
Mm-hmm.
They tell us what we want to hear, and maybe in the beginning they do feel it, and then they get scared and run away. So, so you keep that in mind and call in us again, especially if you're having a little Corona blues, because you know, everybody needs to hear that we all have that sense of blues right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It's not pleasant.
And, no,
you know,
it really isn't.
Oh, no. You know, but again, you're not alone, and I'm glad you decided to call in. And it's not a sign of weakness that you're having trouble with this.
Mm-hmm.
At all. It's more a sign that you know who you are.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear, Nancy, I'm not a commitment kind of person. Because she is.
You know? Mm-hmm.
She is.
Well, the new Nancy is.
The new Nancy loves love, okay? You know?
Yeah.
We love love. And again, you won't regret it. I mean, there's nothing worse. Most people stay on, like, the sidewalk of life the whole time. They're so afraid they're going to get hurt. And, you know, sometimes that's what life's about. We fall, we hurt, we learn. But it's what those are the moments that we remember in life, and, you know, when we loved and who we loved. And even if it didn't work out perfectly, we learned something from every relationship.
Right, we do.
And keep us posted. Can you call in again soon?
I will. I hope I have better news soon.
Oh, yes. And see if you can't look up some different things that you can do to meet new people, because, you know, it's possible to expand your friendship world, and through meeting new friends you could meet someone too. So expanding friendship world is always important.
Yes.
You
I'll
know,
definitely look into it.
And good luck to you. I love your laugh.
Thank
we want to hear a little more of that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Stay
so much.
Well.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so Karen wants to talk.
Yeah.
Karen almost never wants to talk, so she must have something to
I
say.
I know, which is why I put that little note in there that we're going to pick up Karen. So no intro needed. It's Karen. Hey, Karen, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Hi, yep, I'm here. You hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
I hear you.
Okay, great. Well, I want to say that broken heart is real. That sadness is real when you end that. You really do mourn that relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Poor girl. I
know.
It's such a light. I wanted to just share. I'm like, once you find that self-love and the reason and the hope of that the new love will come, you just feel so much better. You know how I feel about that.
Oh, yes. And again, you agree that no one regrets loving in the long run. Because, and you could see what she first prefaced her story with was, Nancy, you know, I never wanted love or relationship commitment. And, you know, the universe always answers what we say. If we say, I don't believe in love, it doesn't work, it doesn't last. Well, that's the kind of love God gives us. Because the universe believes what we say. And they're trying to prove us wrong. But if they keep bringing us things that, well, it's proving what I think. Until we finally go, well, maybe the universe wants you to realize that you're bringing this kind of love into your life with that belief. Yeah. So, and how is everything going with you? Are you back in school now?
I wanted to tell you that you were right. I was in school for 5 days with the kids, and they shut us down again in the city. So I'm home for the next couple of weeks, working from home.
Wow.
And I know. And then I want to tell you, October is always our sad month. My brother's birthday and my dad passed in October, and everyone around me is sad, my mom, my brother, and I just want to see if there's any messages from the guys.
Right. And I will tell you, first of all, your brother is always around. You know, he's around a lot. And he's one of your son's main spirit guides. So he's always, you know, around with you and him. Your dad, you know, spends a lot of time with your mom. He's with you, too. But he seems to be around her an awful lot lately.
He's very sad, and she looks terrible, Cindy. I've never told you that. My mom looks terrible. She looks so sad.
Right. And, you know, and this is sad because, you know, she's starting to lose some of her will to live since your brother died. And that's kind of understandable. And the older people get, sometimes they just don't want to live to bury any more people. Like, they can't. They just don't want to.
No, they can't.
She can't. She doesn't want to ever, you know, she doesn't want to be here to see that anymore. And I can understand her feelings, but it's almost like what we were talking about with Nancy. When things end, we're always mourning for them, and yet we never regret loving that person who died or left us. I mean, we don't regret that. But part of your mom wants to start joining your brother. And it's not her due date to die, but if people start having those wishes, the death wish works as well as any weapon when you start wishing it. And have you been able to go see her?
Yeah, I'm with her, you know, a couple times a week I'm with her. We talk a lot about this, and I always joke with her. I'm like, you know, I'll be the first to pack your bags, but it's not your time yet. You know, like that's what our big joke is, you know. So she has that very dry Irish humor. So that's, you know, up her alley. But I just know that, you know, we talk about just not this year. We can't have two deaths in a year. Let's try to make it, you know, till 75. Let's get Michael to college. And, you know, I keep trying to give her, like, you know, another year. We're lucky we've gotten 12 years out of her from my dad passing.
And
so, I know.
And this has been a hard year for a lot of people. There's no doubt about it. If people were in the blues before Corona, it can really put it deeper into the blues. And, you know, she's, but your father said he's spending a real most, if you don't feel him sometimes near you, he's with her a lot. Like when you're with her, he's always there too. But he's trying to cheer her on and give her a lot of strength to continue. So trust that they're doing what they can from above. And
you know, Michael passed his road test, by the way, I wanted to tell you.
Oh, I had no doubt. And, you know, that's why your brother's been assigned to watch closely, because your son's going to be driving now.
Yeah.
So your brother will always be there with him when he's in the car and driving. But he's a good driver, your brother said, a very good driver. You taught him very well and should be proud of yourself. And, you know, I'm sure your son feels, like, happy about that too, huh?
Yeah. And with Sharon, the car, he's been really good. You know, he doesn't go too far. I know where he's going. And I said, you know, we know what you did in college, and we'll know if we need another car. I'm like, right now, you know, we'll share.
Right, just share for a while. Yep, that's good. And your brother will help find the right car for your brother, for your son, too, because that's his job. He wants to make sure he gets the perfect car. And Of course, you know, your dad just gave threw a big kiss to you. He's always very nice to me. You know, he always says that I'm a good girl. That's like the code, remember, we say from the other side when you're, you know, really, you know, you have a good soul, Rick. He says, you're a good girl. And he blows me a kiss whenever he comes around. So
he was a sweet talker.
Yeah, he's a sweet talker. And, you know, your brother's laughing that he gets to be on the radio now that he's dead, you know, like it's kind of funny. You know, that he loves it. And his sense of humor is very good right now, your brother. He seems to be adjusting very well to the other side and having fun watching over you, seeing what you guys are doing, being near his kids and his wife and spending some time with your mom. So, you know, he just wants you to know he's doing good.
Okay, good.
That should help you and comfort you, too. Well, they're going to knock us off the air in about 20 minutes. Because they're famous for that lately.
I'm glad we caught up, and thank you for taking my call. And I'll talk
always,
to you in
always,
a couple months.
And thank you for listening. Okay,
all right,
Nicole,
I'll talk to you soon.
We're like almost at the end of our show, and
yes, we are.
And it was a little bit about the Corona blues tonight, don't you think? And
yes,
you know, we had sort of been away from that topic for a while, but I think it's probably coming around a little more right now because, you know, the weather's changing. We're going to start being, you know, in darkness soon, earlier. Like, all that starts to get a little depressing, doesn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And I think that just, you know, the weather not knowing what it wants to do, whether or not it's going to be, hot one day or whether or not it's going to be a fall day. You know, some people are going back to work already and there's that underlying fear that, you know, they may get exposed. People are just sick of just being on lockdown. So, I mean, it's a variety of things. And, you know, the new worries now that the weather is changing, people are getting colds and what's corona and what's not, you know, so it's very, very stressful. And I think it's mentally exhausting on people. So just kind of remember everybody to take a little mental break when you can, because you will drive yourself nuts if you don't.
And a nap
that
is good,
so,
too. We like the naps, right?
I take a nap, goddammit.
I take a nap. We take a nap. And I'm just going to put it out now that on November 12th, you can write that down, I'm not going to be doing a show because I've been asked to join a writing workshop for that night. So I don't know why everything's 7 o'clock on a Thursday. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's odd and weird. Like, is that...
That's
you know,
all good.
But this way, November 12th, so I'll keep saying it so that people will know, because I hate when I don't remind people, and then I feel like I don't want people to go look for the show and it's not there.
No, of course. You're
and I
always
so
get courteous
frantic,
for our listeners.
And I get the frantic emails. Are you guys okay?
Oh, boy.
So I don't want
to get
everyone
a lot of those when I forget that we have a show, when I get it's the wrong week and then I don't show up.
No, we just want to make sure that Nicole's alive. But, I talk to dead people, so if I'm not hearing you, I know you're alive.
Yeah, pretty much. As long as I'm not going to Cindy, we need to talk, we're good.
Don't do that. Whatever you do,
that.
Okay, try not
I'll
to
try.
Do that, okay? Because I swear to God, if you die, I'm not talking to you, okay? I'm just telling you right now. Okay. I'm
all
only
right.
To
I will
you
keep that
life.
In mind. I will keep
okay.
that in mind, definitely.
All right. Well, bye for now. We'll all speak next week. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye, Cindy.